Shalom, Rabbi Galperin.
How are you, Ilan?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank God. Baruch Hashem.
That's good. So, Parashat Balak.
Yeah, we read about Parashat Balak, which is the Balak, who is the king of Moab. He summons the prophet Bilam to curse the people of Israel. And on the way, Bilam is stopped by his horse, and you know the whole story, and he hits his foot, as it brought down in the Medrash. He hits his foot against the fence that's over there, and he's very angry. Why did the horse stop? And he beats the horse, and the reason is because the horse sees before Bilam the angel that God sent to block their way, and he's beating him, and finally the horse screams out and saying, "Why are you beating me? What are you doing?" And Bilam then gets obviously that big shock, and then he realizes, God opens up his eyes, he realizes that there's the angel that's standing right in front of him, which a lot of people say that happened to be the Malach HaMavet, the angel of death.
Yeah.
Now, you know, in the world today, people are always asking is in regards to people that are against us, terrorism. Is that why people would want to, for example, blow their fellow citizens and themselves to smithereens in, you know, crowded rush hour underground trains? And most people cannot fathom this new evil, which is perpetrated by, if you think about it, seemingly normal people who could have their own, that could have been, for example, their neighbors, their classmates. And there is no doubt that this new phenomenon forces a new understanding of the enemy. Because whereas, you know, in bygone days, wars were fought between nations who lived in separate lands. People that didn't like each other, you were going to come conquer my land, I was going to go to war to you.
Yeah.
However, now in the age of globalization, the boundaries are different. And they could be in our backyard. And notwithstanding this, the underlying cause of war, and therefore, you know, even if you look at the 21st century terrorism, has not changed since biblical times. Because there's one particular story, which we read in this historic portion in the Bible, that offers insight into the cause of war. The story opens with Balak, the king of Moab, noticing how the children of Israel had defeated the Amoraim, the Amorites.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, right, the Bible says, Moab became afraid of the people, in other words, of Israel, because they were numerous. And Moab became disgusted because of the children of Israel. Now, the sequence of these two phrases is fear, followed by disgust. And this is very significant, because there can be two responses to a more powerful and, you know, for example, successful person or people. What I mean is a person can be motivated to endeavor to establish good relations with the more powerful entity, or they can become frightened and attempt to undermine it and say, well, this is nothing, these aren't anyone, don't worry about it. And the Bible, the Torah tells us in a word, why Moab chose the latter option. They were afraid and envious of the Israelites, of the Jews, and envy breeds disgust. As we see the Torah illustrates, disgust is only a short step away from a hatred that can lead to cold-blooded killing. Because according to the Medrash, which explains the Torah, Balak realized that it would be difficult to defeat the Israelites with military might alone. So what did he do? Because he knew God is always on their side. So he attempted to find the source of Israelites' strength in order to undermine it. Because Moses, if everyone knows, the leader of the Israelites was raised in Midian.
Yeah.
This is what Balak reasons. So he said, let us ask them what his strength is. And they told him that his strength, Moses' strength lies solely in his ability to communicate verbally with God. Okay, so Balak thought and replied that in order to neutralize this advantage, he will enlist Bilam, the Gentile prophet, to curse them. Then we will be able to crush them in battle. So he thinks. Now the Israelites had a completely different outlook. When faced with a powerful war or a powerful opponent that was coming towards them, they would choose the peaceful option. War was always, always a last resort. And the reason for this is clear, obviously. Satisfied, if you think about it, with what they had been given by God, they were happy with what God had given them. They did not feel the need to have what belonged to others. If it belonged to others, I don't need it. I'm happy with what God has given me. And this characteristic was, and still is, if you think about it, the integral part of Jewish identity. That we don't want what other people have. We're happy with what we have. And eventually, even the evil prophet Bilam was forced to recognize this. God did not allow Bilam to curse the Israelites, and he was forced to give them blessings instead. And he gave them quite a few blessings. And the third blessing he gave them was different than all the other blessings, because Bilam did not go in search of downfalls or certain things that he might find the Jews, it's a good opportunity for him to curse them like he did in the previous blessings. But in the third blessing, but he turned his face towards the desert, Bilam raised his eyes and he saw Israel dwelling according to its tribes. Everyone had its own area where they dwelt. And the Spirit of God rested upon them. And he took up his parable and he said, Matovu Alecha Yaakov, Mishkenetecha Yisrael. How goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel. And we say that every morning. And our sages explain that Bilam, when he was saying this blessing, was commenting on the fact that the openings of the Israelites' tents did not face each other. Each one was facing back to back. And the reason for that was so that no one could look and peer into another person's tent. Each family was happy with what they had, with their own lot. They therefore had no reason to want to look into the tents of their neighbors. The way the tents were laid out reflected this. They were happy with what they had. They didn't care what the other person had. So Bilam had no choice but to recognize this and contrast it with the fear, discontent, and envy he had encountered with Moloch, with Balak and the Moabites. Because in the beginning, the Moabites and everyone and Balak had the disgust. They didn't have the fear or anything. Bilam saw was, wow, how is it possible? And he said this blessing. So he realized, and he automatically got this fear. Now, the strategy of our enemies trying to defeat us is age-old. Like Balak in the Bible, they have identified the strength of Western democracies, our free and open societies, and they intend to exploit it in an effort to defeat us. And Judaism rejects the ideology of discontentment. We're always happy. Judaism, that is why Judaism has never sought or has never looked for converts or enlargement of the Jewish boundaries. Judaism believes that by keeping what we have, being happy with what we have, encouraging the world to do the 7 universal moral ethical laws, and by non-Jews doing it, they receive a place in the world to come. By being satisfied with what it has, Judaism teaches us to leave space for others. We don't need everyone to live our life. We don't need to convince people to become part of us and take on our ideology. When you're not happy with what you have, when you need other people, when you need things that other people have, then you have the disgust. You don't have the fear. You have the disgust of, how can they have it and I don't have it? I need to change that. And that's what Bilam wanted Balak to do. He wanted them to curse because he couldn't stand the fact that the Jews had everything that they had and they were happy. And indeed, I think in order for the terror in the world to end, the world this month has to again take a look and emulate, I think, the beautiful setup of the tents of Jacob and the dwellings of Israel. Because if you think about it, if every nation was happy with what they had, every nation was happy with the land they had, the jobs that they had, no one would be fighting with the other person because we want more land or because we want something that you don't have, that we don't have that you have. If we all look, the tents of Israel were all set up back to back for the single purpose that we should not look into the other person's tent and want what the other person has that we don't have. And that's something that we can most definitely learn from this week's Torah portion, as well as apply it to the world that we live in today.
That's nice. So we came to curse and he ended the blessing.
Giving a blessing.
Yeah.
Correct.
And the Shabbat services at Shari Tzedek.
Shabbat services are 7:15 Friday evening and Shabbat morning 9 a.m. as well as there is Minyan every Sunday morning at the Shahar Shemayim at 8:15 followed by breakfast. And I don't know if I ever mentioned it, but we do have as well Minyan twice a week in the community, in the Paris House, in the JCC, every Monday morning and Thursday morning at 7:15 in the morning. And it's open to the whole community. So anyone's encouraged to, if you want to start off your day on a good note, to come and daven, pray with the minyan and go straight to work. We're start at 7:15 and we're done by 8.
Okay. So, Rabbi, I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
You too. Have a great week and Shabbat Shalom and enjoy the heat.
And do my best. Thank you.
All right, good shot. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.